Leviticus chapter 25, verses 10 through 19. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, or thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if you sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, shalt thou buy thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits, doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but ye shall fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and His eternal and glorious Word. I love my God. I love my family, and I love my country. And I'm not ashamed this morning of my God, not ashamed of His Word, Holy Bible, not ashamed of His standards and of His holiness. I'm not ashamed this morning to be a traditional family. I have a wife who is a woman. I have children. That's a funny thing to say in this day and time, isn't it? I have a wife who is a woman. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm proud of that. I have children who are married. They're girls and they're all married to men. I'm not ashamed of that. And their children, well, I guess I'm proud of them. That's the grandpa in me. I'm thankful for my God and my family, and I'm thankful that I live in America. I have been blessed to have been raised and grown up and grown old in possibly the most secure, wonderful time that anybody on earth could possibly have done that. Those of us who grew up in the 50s and early 60s, I, of course, began in the 40s. We lived a life different than the world we live in today. First of all, as little children, there was no television. When you had a radio, we listened to the preaching and the country music. Daddy did, Mother wouldn't, because it was worldly. And we grew up. We were poor, but we didn't know much about it because everybody else around us was the same way. We had chicken to eat. We went out in the yard and cut its head off and pulled the feathers out and cooked it and ate it. If we needed hog meat, we went to the smokehouse and got it. If we had vegetables, they were canned in the winter, and in the summer they were fresh out of the garden, and we went and got them. Mama wore print dresses and Daddy wore bib overalls and I wore whatever they gave me to wear. And I was thankful for all of it. and am thankful for all of it today. My parents didn't know anybody. They didn't have anything, but that didn't make too much difference. We didn't seem to mind that. I'm thankful that I grew up in a time that our president and our Congress and our Supreme Court and the governor of our state, when I was a little boy, if the governor of Virginia had come out and said that if a baby's born and we don't know what to do with it, just lay it over to the side and decide after a while where it's going to live or die. I have to tell you something, folks. If the governor of Virginia had said that when I was a little boy, he wouldn't have been alive to the end of the day. Amen. He'd have been in the penitentiary or someplace. What a terrible thing for a governor to say, especially one who is a medical doctor. The kind of doctor that delivers babies, no less. And when I look at that, I'm thankful, Alma, that we were raised back in the holler when we were. I'm thankful that we went through what we went through and we came out shining on the other side. There wouldn't have been a man at a still back in these mountains making liquor that you could have walked up to and he would have told you that there was a God in heaven. He'd have believed it, whether he lived it or not, he'd have believed it. You could have went back in these mountains and somebody would have had a still set up and you'd say, that's awful, and I'll agree it's awful. If you've never lived around an alcoholic family, you just don't know what you're talking about to know how awful it can be. But I have to tell you something, folks. If you'd went back in here and told one of those men that it was all right to kill a little baby before it was born or when it was born, he'd have doubled up his fist to give you five right on the spot. He could not have stood it. He could not have gone through with it. You could have talked to most anybody, and that's what would have happened. We live in a different world than that world. My grandfather had a little store across the mountain, and he told me my word was my bond, that if I told a customer something, I had to live by it. If I told somebody something, it had to be the truth, and I had to stand on it and live by it, and my word was my bond. My grandfather was not unique in that. That's the way business was done. We shook hands, and we agreed, and we were honest and upright before God and before our fellow man, and we trusted God to take care of us. I want to thank God for God being God, for sending His Son Jesus, for sending us the Holy Ghost, for giving us the Holy Bible. Do you realize what a terrible time it took to get this book to us? You need to know the history of the English Bible. How many people were burned at the stake? How many people were dragged through the streets and mutilated because they'd simply translated the Word of God into English? How blessed we have been to have the Word of God. And how blessed we have been to live in a country that called itself a Christian country and was not ashamed to say that, by the way. Amen. We look at our scripture lesson today from the book of Leviticus. God's giving the people directions how to live. And every 50th year, they had a year's Sabbath day. They didn't plow the ground, didn't trim the grapevines, didn't prune the trees. The poor and the people who did not have got all of the produce that year, and that leveled the economy out. If you had been enslaved because of a debt, you were freed. He said, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the people. Let everybody know that a time of freedom has come. A time of liberty has been brought to us, the year of Jubilee. When the Lord Jesus went to Nazareth to open up His public ministry, that's the scripture He used. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim the year of liberty. Praise be unto God that God has proclaimed through Jesus freedom beyond anything that the United States or any other government could ever declare. We need to acknowledge today, my friend, that this country has been the bastion of freedom. This country, my friends, has been the country that sponsored the missionary zeal to the world. This country has been the country where men were free to pursue their religion, their salvation, their walk with God without interference from the government. You know why that is? Because in the heart of every man and every woman and boy and girl, there's a yearning for liberty. When we began this country in 1776, those Virginians and other people from the other colonies were gathered together in Philadelphia, and they signed the Declaration of Independence. They talked about we were created. Our Declaration of Independence says we were created. We didn't evolve. We didn't start out. We weren't the product of some empire or some tyrant. We were here because we were created. And we're created with certain inalienable rights. Among these was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Free, how those men desired to be free, and how those men desired to put it in writing in such a way that it would guarantee the freedoms that they were fighting for would be here for their children and their children's children, and that's us, folks. Somebody stuck their neck out in Philadelphia that day. Benjamin Franklin said, if we don't hang together, we'll certainly all hang separately. And they were all to be killed because of what they had done. But those men had a dream that men and women and boys and girls could grow up in a free country. No one would be pecking on their door and asking questions about what they believe. Nobody would be closing the church doors and the church windows and putting them out. Their yearning for that freedom brought them to war, to death, to impoverishment, and then to building a country that you've been raised in and lived in like no other group of people that's ever lived. We, my friends, are the product of those people's sacrifices and faith. We have been the richest, best educated, best perfumed, best dressed, best traveled group of people that's ever existed on the face of the earth. There's never been a nation where the whole nation partook of the glory and the riches and the freedoms the way that we have been able to. There have been instances of certain classes of people that got to do that. But we who call ourselves the poor and the afflicted are really the rich and the pampered of all time. How blessed we are to have been here when we were. But this week, we will celebrate 243 years of freedom, of liberty. This year we will celebrate 243 years of men being free to do the way that they needed to do. And I have to tell you something. I'm not willing to give up on the United States of America. I'm not willing to give up on our freedoms. I'm not willing to give up on our privileges. I'm not willing to give up on our history. I'm not willing to give up on our heritage that has come down to us from men of faith and men who believe God and trust in God. I'm not willing to compromise or to retreat from the Constitution of the United States. And I know somebody's going to say, oh, I wish he'd preach a spiritual message. This is about as spiritual as it gets, folks. Do you realize, as awful as the Roman Empire was, if the Roman Empire had not been in place at the birth of Christ the way it was, the gospel could never have been taken to the whole world. But because the Roman peace existed, the Bible said that rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And the Bible teaches us to pray for the king, teaches us to pray for the government, teaches us to be obedient citizens in as much as we can of the government we live under. I'm not willing to retreat from that dream of liberty and that dream of men being free to worship as they desire. I'm not willing to compromise it away. I'm not willing to give it away to the devil's crowd. I have to tell you, my friends, as I look at the world today, I am aware that there is an undermining spirit of the devil loose in this country who is undermining the authority of fathers in the home and mothers, who's undermining the authority of the duly processed government of the country. And I'm aware that my brothers and sisters, that they will undermine us by eating away at the moral fabric of our country. You remember, some of us are old enough too, when Mr. Khrushchev came over here in the late 50s, unheard of for Soviet Russian leader to come to America. He got up in the United Nations and took his shoe off and pounded it on the desk. And he served notice to America that we're going to get you. We're going to tear you down. But we're going to do it from the inside out. When the apostles' day and age began to close in the New Testament, you can hear the Apostle Paul saying, when we're gone, certain men will creep in unawares. Tares will be sowed in the field. Wolves in sheep's clothing will come in the church and will seek to change the doctrines, to change the standards, to change the ways of the church of God. And my brothers and sisters, we see that eating away today. When we have whole denominations that stand up, men who and women who once believed the Bible was the standard for God's people, and we have whole denominations standing up and saying it's all right to marry men to men and women to women and to put them in the pulpit to preach the gospel and in charge of the young people to lead them in church and the singing, my friend, that's the devil trying to cheat his way into the church of God and to undermine the power and the authority of the church. I'm not willing to give up to that. I'm not going to give up to that. I want to take a firm and a holy and a righteous stand against it. People that began this country would be askance if they could see what churchmen, what church members. Listen, folks, if everybody in this country that claims to be a member of a church, claims to be a Christian, would stand squarely together and stand upright before God and vote together and work together and pray together, above all pray together, my friend, we could outlaw all of this stuff. We could clean house. And we need to clean house. We need to clean house in the White House, in the Congress House, in the State House, in the courthouse, and in the church house. We need to take a stand and stand like we've never stood before, because if we don't, we're going to lose it. We stand in danger of losing the liberties that have been so wonderful to us. We stand in danger of losing the standards of liberty that have been so great to us. My brothers and sisters, there is a war on today, if you hadn't noticed it. There's a war on today to take away every reference of God and Christianity in the New Testament church and in this country. Let me tell you something, folks. The people that founded this country acknowledged Almighty God. When the Constitutional Convention met to dissolve the Articles of Confederacy and to bring about the Constitution of the United States, it looked like it was an impossible task to get done. It looked like it just could not get everybody to agree and everybody to work and get done. Benjamin Franklin, he probably was the least spiritual man there. Benjamin Franklin stood up and said, "Gentlemen, we need to pray." And he called for a preacher, and he called for the delegates, and they got on their knees, and they talked to God, and they prayed over the Constitution, and the Constitution that protects your rights as a citizen, as a Christian, my friend, was prayed over and is the answer to prayer. I have to tell you, there is in Philadelphia a wonderful thing called the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell has a crack in it. It was a statehouse bell to start with before the Congress met there. And there's a crack. Actually, when you see that crack in the Liberty Bell, that's really a repair. That's really where they fixed the crack and made it so it would ring again. It won't ring now because it cracked again in a worse place later. But my friends, that Liberty Bell was rung to proclaim liberty throughout the land, that we were a free and a good people. And do you know what's on the Liberty Bell? The text that I just read to you from Leviticus. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the people. That's what's on the Liberty Bell. It's the Word of God. If you look on that bell, and if you don't believe it, just go home, and I know y'all can do your you do your Facebook thing. It probably won't be on there because that has to be foolishness. But you can go online, and you can see the Liberty Bell, and you can see the proclamation from Leviticus that's written right in the Liberty Bell. If you go to the Capitol of the United States, you're going to see the Word of God written in the Capitol of the United States. If you go to the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., you're going to see the Word of God written in the building. If you go to the United Nations, you're going to see the prophecy of Isaiah on the wall where they will turn their swords into pruning hooks and their spears into plowshares. Those scriptures are on the wall of the United Nations. Those people who say that this country was not founded by men who believed in the principles of God and the righteousness of God, my friend, those people are ignoring the history on purpose. Those people are burying their faces away from the history on purpose. You have only to read it. And by the way, the Supreme Court ruled in 1892 that this was founded as a Christian country and continued to be so until that time. My friend, the United States was not set up for the Supreme Court or any other court to override the wishes of the people and the desires of the people. The Supreme Court was set up to keep things in order. Satan has bewitched the people into making the court do things that cannot be done any other way and that are wrong. My brothers and sisters, they were so concerned when they made the Constitution that they came back almost immediately with a declaration from Virginia that they adopted, and it was the first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States. And you know what it's called? It's called the Bill of Rights. Who's right? You're right. My friend, the Constitution guarantees you your right. And what does the first one of, the very first amendment, what does it say? that you have the freedom of religion, speech, and the press. By the way, it does not say you have the freedom from religion. It says you have the freedom of religion. It says that the Congress and the federal government can pass no law commanding you to have a certain religion, but it cannot pass a law that impedes your religion being the religion you want to follow. My brothers and sisters, the whole deal talking about the separation of church and state was in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a Baptist assembly, assuring them that the state was not controlling them and the Pope would not be over them. It had nothing at all to do with the way it's used today. All of this that's being done today, my friend, is a trick of Satan to undermine the liberty and the freedom you have. My friend, we have the freedom to criticize our government. We have the freedom to talk about our government. We have the freedom to preach our gospel. We have a freedom to print at the press whatever we feel like we want, as long as it does not harm someone else. And my friend, they tell me that my sermons in Canada would be outlawed right now as hate crimes. Second Amendment, you know what it says? How many of you own a gun? It says you have the right to keep and to bear arms. Our founding fathers knew that if the population was not armed and the population was not strong, that tyrants and wild people would run over us and we would lose our freedom. To guarantee that, they wrote it down. They also wrote that we did not have to take in the soldiers of the land. They wrote that we did not have to submit ourselves to unreasonable searches. They wrote that we did not have the right, that we did have the right to the protection of life, liberty, and property. They wrote that we had the rights, if we're accused of a crime, not to be taken advantage of, but to be dealt with according to the law, not according to the whims of some man. They said that even in civil cases, we had the right. They said we did not have to be bound to excessive bail, fines, and punishments that were forbidden. They said that the only rights that we gave up were the ones consistent with the Constitution, and that all rights belonged to the people, not to the federal government. My brothers and sisters, this week, as you go about whatever you're going to do, cutting your watermelon, firing off your firecrackers, going to your favorite swimming hole, taking a trip to an amusement park or something, would you stop and would you bow your head and would you say, God, I want to thank you for the freedoms and the liberties that's been proclaimed to me in the United States of America. Would you say, God, I want to thank you in the midst of all of this. I want to thank you that I have the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, and the freedom of speech, the freedom to keep and bear arms. I went a few years ago and bought a gun and put it in my house with ammunition for one reason, to maintain my right to keep and bear arms. Fern made good use of it, killed 9 groundhogs 1 year, but I didn't kill any. But I have to tell you, my friend, the guns are there because I have a right to have them there. And you have a right to have them there. And if they take that right away from you, my friend, we have no defense against them. We could fight a war in this country with the armaments that are in people's houses. And you have the right to do that. You have the right, my friend. You say, somebody said something to me about somebody's church one day and thought they were getting a little too powerful and uppity and all kinds of things. And I said, I'll never be a member of that church. But if you go over there to shut it down, I will be in the churchyard defending them. And they said, why is that? Because if they're not free, I'm not free. You've got to understand, my friends, that you cannot take away the rights of this person and expect this person to have them too. If I take your right away of worship, then I've taken my right of worship away. If I detain you and treat you bad, then I'm detained and treated bad. And my brothers and sisters, as we look at the Word of God and we listen to that which was written on the Liberty Bell and that which was written in Leviticus, repeated in Isaiah and repeated again in the New Testament, proclaim liberty throughout the land. Tell all the people that they're free. My friend, there are people who would take away our freedom in the church by slipping into the church. And there are those who will take it away from us legally by slipping in to the state house and the courthouse. But thanks be unto God, my friend, God has given us a little space. He has given us a little space. The Supreme Court justices and the appellate court justices that have been appointed in the last two or three years, my friend, are on our side. And if God be willing, in the next few years, we can own the Supreme Court and turn it back to where it came from and reverse Roe versus Wade and reverse these things that are against God. But my friend, I have to tell you, as I look down the road, I know that somewhere down the road there will be a rebellion. And I know that the beast will rise up against us. But until that day comes, will you stand? Will you stand and take your stand? Will you live a life that's righteous? Will you right your congressman, your state representatives, your Supreme Court, and tell them how you feel? Will you register your objections to churches that are backsliding and advocating abortion and advocating homosexuality within the church? Would you rise up against that, my friend? I want you to have a good time this week. I want you to enjoy yourself. Put some corn on the cob on the grill and parch it a little bit. Put some butter and salt on it and have a good time. Hug your wife or your husband. Love your children. Enjoy your home. Go fishing in New River or someplace. But stop wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And thank God for the United States of America. God bless America. Let us pray. Eternal Holy God, our Father, we thank you that we can come to you today. And Lord, as we look into your word, that we see the answer to our society. We see the answer to the needs of our people. And Father, I thank you for the freedom we've enjoyed in this country. Thank you for the liberty that's been ours. Thank you for the gospel truth that's been preached to us. For the souls that's been saved because of it, and the missionaries that's gone out over the world. And now, Lord, we pray the Holy Ghost will stir our hearts and the hearts of preachers up and down this country, Lord, that we'll set about to preach the word. And Father, to deliver this American people from their own sins and draw us closer to God. Father, these favors and blessings we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.